hold the Word of God up over your head, please. Hallelujah. Amen. I love to see that. Turn in it to Acts chapter 1. In the New Testament, Acts chapter 1. We'll be reading the first 8 verses this morning in just a moment. But Acts chapter 1, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. We are beginning a new year with a new series titled Radically on Mission. Radically on mission. You know, I realize, as you guys look up here, that I may be getting a little older. My hair is disappearing into the white lights here. And some of you may think that I preach a little bit old-fashioned at times. In fact, you may think at times I'm setting evangelism back and preaching like they did 20 years ago. Well, friends, I want you to know that is not my desire. My real desire is to set the modern church back, to set my preaching back 2,000 years. Amen. I want to preach like the apostles preached. I want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ like the disciples and the apostles in the early church did that. Amen? That is my real desire. You know, we have forgotten so many things. In the Old Testament, if you've ever heard of the name Elijah, please say amen. Amen. The Bible reads in 1 Kings chapter 17 that Elijah the Tishbite walked in and declared to Ahab and Jezebel, terrible king, and a trashy woman, "Behold, the Lord has said." How did he do that? They were killing the prophets of God left and right. Well, his name was Elijah. E-L-I-J-A-H. E-L is short in biblical Hebrew for Elohim. When we read in the beginning, God created, and God said, "Let there be," and God said, "Let there be," that is Elohim God. It means Lord or Lords, as in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Elijah, El, Elohim. E means I or my or mine. And then Yah on the end, which is short for Yahweh, the great Jehovah God. What did Elijah's name mean? My God is Jehovah. And that's what we want here, is to recapture that. You know, in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, we will get there in a few weeks. It says that it was at Antioch that we were first called Christians. That's where we were first called Christians, in Acts chapter 11, verse 26. And there is a problem with the modern church, my friends. We have forgotten our name. Your name is not Gregory. It is not Maurice. It is not Erlene. It is not Ruth Ann. It is not Andrew. It is not Anthony. It is not Aaron. It is not Mercedes or Jim or whatever. Your name is Christian if you are the redeemed of God. Amen. And you are to be known by name throughout the ends of the land. You see, Jesus said, "I have come to seek and save that which is lost." Reminding us that it's Jesus that does the saving. Amen. But Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." In other words, Jesus Christ was telling the early disciples and the apostles what he wanted them to do was go and seek that which is lost so that they may be saved through me. Amen. Through Jesus Christ. And friends, we want our country, we want our nation, we want our friends and our neighborhoods to become in Christ. Amen? Amen? The person of Christ is not a denominational issue. It's not something that we shy away from in our messages or in our sharing with the world. Christians are what we are. And Christ is in us. And in this series, I hope that we will rediscover ourselves. Amen? I want Living Hope to get so radically on mission that the entire world will be shaken to its very core for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I must admit that over the last few years, you know, when I became the pastor, we had some things to work through. Amen. We had to get financially solid. We had to make sure we had a structure in place. But you know what? Sometimes when we do that, we can start getting comfortable about what it is we're called to do. And as I shared with the praise team and band this morning, from this Sunday forth, we are not just going to be sending money to places. We're going to do our very best to send our people to places to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brother Jairo just came back from Colombia. Did you know that last year, we had asked, Christmas before last, we had asked for a small love offering to send, when Pastor Jairo went back to his native country, Colombia, to send him with a little bit of money to help out a house church. In other words, it was a pastor that wanted to start a church, but he was going to have to start in his home. And that house church consisted of four people: mom, dad, son, and daughter. And so we did that. This year, we have a couple of times sent the pastor things over the course of this year. And this year, when Pastor Jairo went back, they have a building. It's covered, but it's open to the elements, but they don't care. They have 100 children there every week. We have bought them Bibles. We have brought them money this past year from our missions. And it is a thriving thing. That pastor preaches week in and week out, day in and day out, with all the fire and passion of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I am talking about. We want to get our folks that are from Haiti, that if you go home on vacation, we want to send you with a love offering. We want to send you with things. We want to send you with Bibles. If you're going to Jamaica, we want to send you with Bibles. If you're going to Mississippi, there's not much I can do for you. They got plenty of Bibles over there. You can't, as we say back home, you can't swing a dead cat in Mississippi without hitting a Baptist church. As a matter of fact, that's where my mother and my brother live, and I'd just like to say good morning to my mother, Miss Alice, and my brother, Gary. Listen, friends, I want Living Hope to be as radically on mission for Jesus Christ as the apostles and disciples were after the upper room experience. What I want is I want Coral Springs to haul us into their council meetings and say, you radicals at Living Hope Church are creating a problem. You're acting like you want to change the world for Jesus. I fear that we've grown comfortable, and that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be getting back to the basics. Amen?
Amen.
And the basics of the gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It begins and ends with Him. You know, this book of Acts, I am so touched, so blessed as I read this amazing book. You know, it's comprised of three different sections. In the first seven chapters, it's all about the new church and the Apostle Peter. Chapters 8 through 12 are all about Saul, the Pharisee, becoming Paul, the Apostle. And then the last part of the book is all about going on mission for Christ. The missionary journeys, as it were. The book of Acts is a story of success. You see, our success is in Christ. Amen?
Amen?
I thought you'd be more excited about that. I'm so glad I brought my own testimony. You see, it's the story of the church triumphant. It is a story of a small group of people with limited resources and very little influence. It is a story of people with no prestige, no colleges, no seminaries, no radio, no television, certainly no internet, of course. It's a story of people with no printing presses, no beautiful building, no safe building like we meet in. It is a story of a small little group of people that went out to tell a remarkable, to the world, unbelievable story about a publicly executed Jew named Jesus Christ that was killed on the cross of Calvary, who had predicted that he would raise again, and he did. Friends, we are here this morning because a dead man got up and walked. And as we come in here week by week, may we hear the soft sounds of the sandaled feet of the Lord Jesus Christ in this sanctuary. You see, they were up against unimaginable obstacles. They were opposed by the imperial might of Rome. They were up against the intellectual sophistication of Greece. They were opposed by the religious bigotry of their day. And all that they did, the only thing that they accomplished, was to turn the world inside out and upside down for Jesus Christ. They went through the floods. They went through the terrors. They went through the deserts. They went through the mountains. They did not care. They were tried. They were under trials. They were beaten. They did not care. They cared about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. They did so much with so little. And at times I fear we do so little with so very much. We are blessed here this morning. And friends, I believe we need to go back and see what they did and how they did it. Amen? Against all of the world, let me ask this. How were they so successful? It's that for that very reason we're going to be studying the book of Acts. This is an action-packed story. Marvel comic books got nothing on this. Superman in the Flash, zeros compared to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God. You see, this is the story of the church on fire with evangelism. It's on fire, which resulted in amazing growth. And I believe that their pattern, Christ put in place for so because it is to be our pattern. Amen? Let's try that again. That's to be our pattern. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, see, I don't want you guys relaxing. Pastor Larry, don't want to, you know, don't make me, we're on video, don't make me start pointing fingers up here. I'll get in real trouble with Mr. Ruthann. But I want God to burn it into our hearts. Amen? Amen. If you have your Bibles open, say amen. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, reading from the Word of God. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do, to both do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his sufferings by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Moving on to the next slide. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me." For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Apparently, friends, they had been sleeping in chapel. And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." I stuck verse 9 in here just because it is so good. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. I submit to you that when verse 9 happened, they looked at each other. The Lord Jesus Christ had been raised. They looked at each other and said, "He was serious about that? He's depending upon us to do this?" Have you thought about that this morning? That Jesus is depending on you. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to indwell you, to seal you, to give you the power of heaven, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. What a radical idea, amen? Now look again at verse 1. If you're there, say amen. "The account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach." You see, the former account that he's speaking of is the Gospel of Luke. In fact, turn over to Luke chapter 1, if you would please, for just a moment. Luke chapter 1, the first four verses. Matthew, Mark, Luke in the New Testament. If you have a paper Bible and you're there already, please say amen. Amen. Luke, reading the first four verses, looks like he's talking to the same guy. "Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered to us, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of these things in which you were instructed." What is he saying here in these two things? Dr. Luke is saying to his friend, his mentor, Theophilus, the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The truth. That's all that we're called to do. Dr. Luke was a medical doctor. He wrote the Gospel of Luke first, then he wrote the book of Acts. Luke was also a great historian. Modern-day historians and geologists have taken the book of Luke, and they've gone to the places that he described. And there's places in here we'll see where he talks about the depth of the water. He talks about how far it goes into the shore. And they've gone to those places and seen that it is absolutely 100% accurate. And in the Gospel of Luke, he wrote about Jesus Christ and how Christ prepared the disciples with the knowledge of who he was. But in Acts, Dr. Luke writes about the church of Jesus Christ, the church triumphant, and how the disciples were prepared and then sent out with that gospel. You see, friends, we are all in Christ if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And we all have a role here in so many times. I've said this before, but for new folks that haven't been coming to Living Hope that long, let me just share this one more time. The world would have you believe that there is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And then under them would come the leader of whatever denomination they are, whether it be the president of the Southern Baptist Convention or the Pope or whoever. And then it would be down to the bishops and elders and the local, the state president of the denomination, and then down to the local association, and then to the pastor, and then the elders and the deacons, and working their way on down the line, you know, that we all have a place in the pecking order. That's not what Scripture says, amen? The Scripture says Christ and the body of Christ. Amen. And in this body of Christ, we all have a role. The role of the person of encouragement is every bit as important in the body of Christ as the person of the preacher. The role of the prayer team is probably more important than almost anything else, because everything begins and ends with prayer. But their role is no different than the roles of the greeters or the audio person. Christ had put us in His church with a specific purpose. Even if when you walk in, you put a smile on the face of your pastor, and your pastor feels encouraged to preach. Amen? You just listen, friends. I am praying with all of my heart that I will remain faithful to His Word. That is why I ask you to keep your Bibles open in front of you. The same Holy Spirit that speaks to my heart speaks to your heart. So follow along in your Bibles. And in the message we have today, I pray that the Holy Spirit will help me impress upon your hearts and minds three vital truths. Now, I've been talking for a while. I just want to share with you quickly to ease your hearts a little bit. We're going to get through one of these points this week. We'll get to the other two points next week. But there's three things in this first lesson that I want to impress upon your conscience. Three things that I want to reverberate through your soul. Three things I want etched into the very fiber of your being. Three things that you will never get out of your heart in your life all this year and every year thereafter. Three things to help you live victoriously. Do we want to live victoriously in Jesus? Amen. Hallelujah. Victory in Jesus. Amen. Three things to give you power with God. Power to touch men and women for Jesus Christ. Three wonderful truths for your life as we begin our journey radically on mission. If you're ready and you have your bulletin with you, please say amen. Our first point today, recognize the presence of Jesus in your life. Recognize Christ's presence in your life. I may have the words out of order, but just fill it into where it fits there. You may be saying, well, duh, that's so simple, Pastor. What's so earth-shaking about that? What is the big deal there? Friends, listen closely. Pay attention to this. This is more than just a phrase. This is more than just a bullet point in our weekend church. This is one of the most vital, dynamic, electrifying, earth-shaking thoughts that I can ever give you. Recognize Christ's presence in your life. Recognize the presence of Christ in your life for your bulletins. Look at how this starts in Acts chapter 1. So you see it says, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. The idea that Christ is not finished. So you see, if you have come here to Living Hope Baptist Church, and you've been coming here for a while, and you've been waiting for God to use you mightily, I want you to understand something. God is not finished with you. God has only begun. Your role may be sitting here to soak up the goodness of the Word of God. Amen? You know, we have licensed and ordained licensed four preachers in the last 2 years, and we've ordained two of them. And the first Thursday of every month, we have pastor training, where Pastor Carol and I preach to these and teach these new preachers. You know, and we preach and teach to them. Why? so that they don't forget what they're called to do. That they don't, that they realize that that being licensed or ordained as a preacher is not the end of the journey. It's the very beginning of the journey. And for you, whether you pray, whether you play in the band, or you sing on the praise team, or you teach the children, or you're a greeter, or you simply come and pray, or you work on the PowerPoint and do these things for your pastor, this isn't what God's destination for you is. He has so much more planned for you. He has so much more planned for you. See, that's great news, guys. Amen? Amen. He has great plans for you. Plans for mighty things. Plans for great things. Plans for amazing things. There is nobody on this earth more surprised that I am a preacher these days other than maybe my wife. You see, there comes a time in your life when you want to come back and be part of the family of God. Amen? And you come and you join in with the family of God. And if you ever pray the words, Lord, here am I. Use me. Get ready for God to do some amazing things in your life. You will be stunned at what God can do. And the idea is that Jesus is not finished. Jesus is still doing. Jesus is still actively teaching. You may say, well, Pastor, but the Bible says right here in verse 9 that we just read that he was taken up to heaven. Yeah, but Jesus is still working and teaching. You see, in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus was here in his physical body. But in the book of Acts, he is here. And today, by the way, he is here in his mystical body. Oh, I see that got the attention of some of you. What do I mean by that? Really, Pastor? Mystical body? Yes, mystical body. Because if you are saved, Christ lives in you. And that is a magical, mysterious, amazing, wonderful thing. Look at something with me for a moment. In the Bible that I have, in the top of this chapter, it says the Acts of the Apostles. Does it say that in your Bible? Say amen.
Amen.
But let me just share something with you. That was put there by the publisher that is not part of the inspired text. Okay? Because this is not really a book about the Acts of the Apostles themselves. This is not even a book specifically about the Acts of the Holy Spirit. No, friends, what you have in the book of Acts are the Acts of the Lord Jesus Christ in us.
Amen.
Christ in us, using the power of the Holy Spirit. Luke is saying in verse 1 that the Gospel of Luke showed all that Jesus had started to do while he was here on this earth. But the balance of the book of Acts is about what Jesus continues to do and what he has called us to do. Young people, look up here. All over this sanctuary, my young folks, look up here. You may be in high school, you may be in college, you may be in a 20-something group, you may have finished your college, you're moving on to your master's stuff. I've asked Marnell over there to please speak slowly when she speaks to me. Use small words. Yeah, okay. I believe you're going to be a doctor, amen?
Yes.
I'm getting there. But listen, guys. Listen to me. It's the Acts of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's alive. He's active. And young people, he's counting on you. Friends, can I share with you for a moment? The hardest job in the world right now is to be a good young person in this world. It's to stand for Jesus Christ in this world. It's to stand for Christ in your school or with your friends. It's to stand for Christ when you have some professor spouting nonsense. It's to stand for Christ in the workplace when they denounce you and they call you names and they call you stupid or uninformed. The hardest thing to do is to be a good kid nowadays. I'm so grateful for our young people at Living Hope Baptist. Amen? Give them a round of applause, as a matter of fact, folks. God bless you, young people. God bless you. And Jesus is alive and active. He just has a different body. If you're the redeemed of God, that body is yours. And Jesus wants you to be on mission for Him. Amen? Wherever you go, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. That body is here in this auditorium. This will be difficult to grasp. Stick with me. I want to share something with you before we start getting off on the wrong foot here. Jesus doesn't want us to do anything for Him today. Listen to me. I know that probably just shocked you on the internet. Somebody just clicked me off. Jesus does not want us to do anything for Him today. No, friends. What Jesus wants to do, we're going to learn in this series, He wants to do through us. Amen. His work, not mine. His mind, not mine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Friends, is that in the Bible? You may ask. I'm so glad you asked me. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, write this in your margin. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is it? Which is Christ in you. The hope of glory. That is the mystery. That is the great mystery. Jesus Christ is alive, and He lives in the redeemed of God. He lives in the saved of God. And the mystery to the world, the thing that they can't get, the thing that they just can't understand, is Christ in you. That's what they cannot understand. It is an amazing thing. They say, well, Pastor Larry has a history. Yeah, LaSalle had a mystery. Peter had a history. King David had a history, amen? Don't act like you never heard of David in The Lady on the Roof. Listen, friends, the best thing that I ever discovered is that I cannot do anything for Jesus. Oh, but as Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, I know it seems confusing because most certainly we are supposed to serve the Lord. Amen. When you come on Sunday morning, our greeters hand out the bulletins, our audio and our sound team and everybody are doing their things. Our PowerPoint people get up there and Miss Margaret and the young lady back there, Mary, they get together and they pray, oh Lord, let the pastor stay on his nose today. Let him just be reasonably close. If you were to ask him right now, she would tell you, I'm way off my notes. Why? Because I got the fire of the glory of God in me this morning. You see, friends, I know it seems confusing because we most certainly are supposed to serve the Lord. And I realize that sometimes when I preach, and this is a fault of mine, sometimes I go all seminary on you guys and use technical terms. But go with me for just a moment. Are you ready for an encouragement this morning? Amen. All right, here we go. Here's your encouragement. I want you to understand that the Christian life is not difficult. The Christian life is totally impossible. Now, wasn't that an encouragement? And what I mean by that, friends, is that there is not a single person here who can live the Christian life. No, friends. Nobody sitting here in the sanctuary. Nobody on this platform. Nobody on our praise team. Nobody in our band. Nobody sitting here this morning can live the Christian life. Because there is only one person who has ever lived the Christian life, and His name is Jesus. But listen to me now. If the Christian life is lived where you live, it will be Jesus living through you. It will be Jesus living through you. So when you go somewhere, is that recognizable where you go? Do people say, oh, what a blessing, after you leave? Or do they say, what a blessing, they left? Be Jesus for the world, amen? Be the grace and kindness and gentleness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is Christ in you. Christ, the hope of glory. Somehow we get the idea that we can do all of these things. We forget that our salvation, just our salvation, is a miracle. You see, friends, the Christian life commences with a miracle, our transition to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Christian life will conclude with a miracle, our physical translation out of this body into the glorious body in heaven. Amen? But in the meantime, the Christian life is to continue daily with a miracle. Look at the screen, if you would, for just a moment. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 talks about this. What does it say? For I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in who? Say that again. Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Do you realize the great gift that has been given? Christ died and gave himself for you so that he could live in you and do great things through you. It is an amazing, amazing thing. Think of it this way. This is the blessing, the encouragement. Do you have old work gloves at home? Anybody here have an old work glove at home? Yeah, Miss Ruth Ann, she's out in that yard all the time. I have old work gloves too because Miss Ruth Ann has me out there with her in the yard. But you know, if you take that old work glove and it's just laying there in the garage, amen? Or ladies, if you put gloves on when you're doing the dishes and you have that glove sitting there, look, think about it this way. Without you, that glove is nothing. Nothing. But once you, the owner, pulls on that glove assumes all the power and the abilities that you have. Listen to me now, friends. Without Jesus Christ, I have no power at all. But with Christ, the owner of my soul, in me, I am filled with all of the power of the Lord available. I am filled with the power of my owner. Amen. You see, I just have to make use of it. And how do I do that? Every single morning I pray, Lord, like that old glove in the garage, fill me up. Fill me with your power. Lord, when I sit here and I sing on Sunday morning, I'm singing praises, fill me up with your power. Lord, when I go from my seat to this terrible, terrible place to preach your word, where I approach it with such fear and trepidation, and as I get here closer and closer and closer, I feel in my heart the Lord saying, take your shoes from off your feet, for you are standing on holy ground. All the way up here, I pray, Father, I pray that I would preach with power and grace and mercy. Your words, not mine. Your words, not mine. Your words, not mine. You see, friend, there's only one way the early church could do what they did. It wasn't them doing it. It was Jesus Christ. And there's only one way that we can go radically on mission and do what Jesus has called us to do. And that's to trust the power of Jesus Christ. And do it with Him doing it through us. You may say, well, Pastor, I'm inadequate. Pastor, I'm not all that gifted. Well, amen. You learned something today. Hallelujah. Because let me say something to you. Are you ready for this? Jesus never said we were adequate. He never said that at all. He said that He is sufficient. What does Jude verse 24 and 25 say? God says, I am able to do all these things. You say, well, I just can't do that. I'm too weak. So what? He never said you could. But God is able to do all things through you. You have some abilities, but never forget, your greatest ability is your availability. Write that down. Amen. Your greatest ability is your availability. Yes. Pastor, I'd love to sing on the praise team. I'm not sure about my ability. We don't care. Go talk to Miss Jamie. If you're available, we'll work you in. Amen? Okay, I'm not asking you to sing on the praise team. It got awfully quiet in here. If there's anybody around here that can make a joyful noise to the Lord, it's Pastor Larry. Friends, your greatest ability is your availability. Be available for the work of Jesus Christ. Bringing the world to Christ is not your responsibility. It's your response to His ability. Amen? And the real difference is made in this old world when we understand that Jesus wants us to do this through Himself in us. Flip over a couple pages in the book of Acts to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. Let me please say amen when you get there in a paper Bible. Amen. Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. And listen closely while I read this now. I don't just make this stuff up. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Listen, guys. Through the hands of the apostles, through the hands of the preachers, through the hands of Jamie, through the hands of Cliff, through the hands of Marnell, through the hands of Ronell, through the hands of Doreen and Latima, many can be added to the multitudes of heaven if you will simply be available for what God has called you to do. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. You see, friends, working through them. May I ask you something? Would you like Jesus to work through your hands to heal the brokenhearted? Would you like Jesus to speak through your lips to comfort? Would you like Jesus to think through your mind to glorify God? Would you like Jesus to work through you to love people through your heart? Because that is exactly what He desires to do, and it's exactly what He will do. There's a hurt and broken world out there, amen? Amen. But if you are the redeemed of God, Jesus has His body as His, and Jesus Christ lives in you. If we could only understand the glory of that. Trying to live the Christian life without Christ in us is a life destined for failure. When you pray in the morning, say, Lord, fill me. Fill me. How many Christians are failing because it's them that's trying to do God's work? You know, Satan will busy you up with church work. And that's why once in a while I call our praise team up here. Or I call our band up here and remind them of who they are. We have musicians with amazing giftedness. You know, we DJ, he's working today, I assume. He's an officer. But when he's not here, Andrew fills in. Amazing job by that young man for Christ. Brother Cliff plays with his heart. I've known Brother Cliff. We were licensed as deacons, ordained as deacons at the same night. Both of us looking at each other going, really? Davidson, gifted keyboard player. Gifted. I want these musicians to play with all of their heart. I want them playing for Jesus Christ. I want them playing as if the Lord's standing right here. I want them playing as if when church is over and we walk out the doors, we are all caught up to be with the Lord in heaven. And as we go into heaven, we stand before the throne of God. Davidson and Cliff and Andrew can stand right there and look Jesus in the face and say, I didn't leave anything in the well. I'm satisfied that I gave everything for you, Lord Jesus. I want the praise team to do the same thing. I want our greeters in our ministry. I want you that as you go and you're hastening to heaven, that you can just face the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, this day I didn't leave anything in the well. I praise you with all of my heart. I love you with all of my heart. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And listen, guys. So many Christians are failing because they're trying to do the Lord's work, and God doesn't want you to try. He wants you to stop trying and to start acting. Looking at Acts chapter 1, verse 1, one more time, because that's all we're getting to today. It says, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do. All that Jesus began to do. The idea was that Jesus was here in a physical body, but now He's here in a mystical body, yours, ready to do the work of the Lord. I believe with all my heart that this year is the year where there'll be a great movement of God in Coral Springs, Florida, because of Living Hope Baptist Church. Because we preach, thus saith the Lord. Because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. You're saying, well, Pastor Larry, I'm not sure I got all of that in me. James 1:5 says, if any of you need wisdom, ask God for it. Or ladies, if your husband doesn't have wisdom, ask God to give him some. This is a good place to stop for this week. We'll get to the rest next week. But may I ask this to everyone sitting here today, to those of you watching on the internet, is Christ present in you today? Because if not, I don't have to tell you how pointless life can be right now. Apart from Christ, life is useless. And I know you wonder about all of this save stuff, that you have turmoil in your heart, that you don't understand. It's okay. One of the original disciples doubted. They call him Doubting Thomas. And he said, unless I see and touch the holes in the Lord's hands and the spear hole in His side, I will not believe. And he saw Jesus and he said, put your hands here. put your hand in my side, Thomas. The Lord doesn't get upset with that. Moses had his reservations about whether he was the right guy, but God persisted. Amen? Paul had hard times, but God never left him or abandoned him. The Lord was always with him. It doesn't mean you won't have hard times. It means when you go through those hard times, the Lord is with you. Amen. Listen, for the Lord to shake the prison and break the chains, you got to be in jail. And for the Lord to break the things in your life, you have to trust Him. You have to trust that He's going to do a great work in your life. Friends, listen to me. God never turns away from the sincere heart. Never. Tough questions don't bother Him. I have tough questions for God every single week, 15 or 20 times when I'm preparing my messages. In fact, God invites us to test Him in His Word. Are you tired of not making any difference? There's only one way to change that, and it's in your heart. We're going to have an invitation in just a moment. And during that invitation, if you are already one of the redeemed of God, and you're tired of just plodding along and showing up for church, pray that the Lord Jesus Christ would do a mighty work in your heart, that you would be reinvigorated, re-energized. Christians, allow Him to work in you today. Amen? But if you have never received Jesus Christ as Lord, today is that day. It is so easy to do. It is so simple to do. And in just a moment, I'm going to walk you through that. Grace and peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Every head bowed and every eye closed all over the sanctuary.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.